our stories, our paths are not the same. If we share what God has brought us through, we would stand amazed. Each testimony given would reveal our greatest need. The healing grace of Jesus is our only remedy. And afraid, what if we never had the chance to see His awesome love displayed? Where would we be? Where would we be? Where would we be without grace? There's no situation where forgiveness cannot go. The darkest heart can be a place where mercy finds a home. When we view what lies behind us and how faithful God has been, we're humbled by His goodness as we live our lives for Him. His awesome love displayed. Where would we be? Where would we be? Where would we be without grace that is greater than all our sin? It reaches the broken again and again.
Amen. Thank you so much, Miss Becca. Without grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. What a wonderful song. And thank God for grace and the grace of God that reaches down to you. You say, who are you talking to? I'm talking to you and me, because none of us were candidates to make it without the grace of God. I'm afraid there's something we as church people do. We look down our noses that are those people out there that aren't church folk yet, maybe never will be regardless. But I think there's something dangerous that we do. We've been in it so long, we start thinking that we were always kind of likable. Well, I have to challenge that, because some of us aren't too likable even after we've been in church for a long time. You got to remember that. But even those of you who are, you weren't that way when the Lord found you. Maybe you had a little more pleasant disposition than somebody else. But we're comparing ourselves to someone else, not to the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace was the only answer, for by grace are you saved. Thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Becca, for singing for us this morning. And I want to encourage you again. There's tracks out in the track rack. We've got a few more, options in the last couple of weeks, and those are out there. Please take those and have them ready And many times I've been, this suit was in the cleaner, so I don't have any tracks in my pocket. I guess I could take these couple at least. Forget my little reminder up here on the platform, but or on the pulpit. But thank you for taking those out, getting out the gospel, and challenge you to do that. Have them ready for that. Well, let's look in the Bible, shall we? Mark chapter 8, we'll get started. And Mark chapter 8, verse number 22, we'll read a passage here where Jesus heals a blind man. And while you're turning there to Mark chapter 8, I did hear this story about this older fellow that went to the doctor. He was very worried, as husbands do for their wives and wives do for their husbands. He was very worried for his wife. He thought that she was failing, and the specific issue that he was concerned about was her hearing. And so the doctor gave him a couple of exercises to do, just see how bad it is, and maybe they go from there and help her out and see what could be done to remedy the situation. So he thought he'd try out the doctor's wisdom. And there at the house, he's about 20 feet from her in the other room, just in the doorway, and he asked her what was for dinner. And just like he was suspected, she didn't hear, so there's no response. And so he did what the doctor said, went up about 5 more feet and asked again what was for dinner. And so he said, she really is worse even than I thought. Still no response. He didn't hear a thing. And so he went another 5 feet, up to about 10 feet, did that, still the same thing. Finally, about 5 feet from her, he said, honey, I said, what's for dinner? And she said, for the 4th time, lasagna. So there you go. Be careful who you think's hard hearing, I guess, at your house. So he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him. So here's Jesus coming through, and these folks, they bring a blind man unto him, and thinking that they besought him. That means they begged him. Lord, we're begging you to touch him. And that's not necessarily the message, although it is part of the compassion here shown by somebody in verse number 22, and I'll preach it in just a moment, but the compassion shown. Do you know that God's going to use human instrumentation to get most people to the gospel? You say, well, no, I just found a Bible, in a Gideon's Bible, in a motel room, and I read it. Who put it there? Somebody did. You say, oh, no, I just found a gospel track. It was laying somewhere. It wasn't even for me. It was just laying somewhere at a hotel somebody has put there. Nobody helped me. Somebody put it there. Somebody saw the need to print it for probably free of charge, or else somebody bought it and paid the printer and put it there. Human instrumentation. God does the saving, but he typically uses, or he does use people that can be the arms, be the hands, and show the Lord Jesus Christ to somebody. They besought him to touch him. Oh, Lord, would you please touch my friend? Would you touch him? Would you? We're begging you, besought him. And he took the blind man, verse 23, back to our text, when by the hand. Interesting passage here, and this is really what drew me to this section of Scripture for this morning's message. And I didn't know exactly back some time ago when the Lord brought me to this verse, number 23, how the rest of the message is going to shake out. Sometimes it works that way. But this aspect, he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Excuse me. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. You understand that could just see images, blurry things. That he could see movement now, which he couldn't before. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. As I said, verse number 23 is really what brought my attention to this passage in some series of events, which is not important now, but the Lord brought this verse, particular verse, and how the Lord took him out of Bethsaida. Maybe he didn't want to heal him in there because of some curses upon Bethsaida and other passages possibly. Or maybe he just wanted not notoriety because he told the man, don't tell anybody in town, don't go back into the town. Not sure why. Or maybe it's just to remind us and remind his disciples that it was him that was doing the healing, not the process. Because certain persons he just said to be healed. Others he did it one way or another. And maybe the Lord was just showing that it's not the method, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ that actually gets it done. I'm not sure why, but that's what drew me there. I just kept on reading, kept on reading, kept on reading. And I want to preach this morning a message entitled The Compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ, it has the human instrumentation in the first verse we read because the people brought this blind fella to Jesus and they besought him, they begged him that he would heal him. But then Jesus does just that. I want to preach about that. I'll show you the compassion and then, I'll show you the completion that's done at the end, but I'll show you the comfort of Jesus in the middle. And so as we look at it this morning, the specific story is that there's a blind man going into the story and coming out of it, he's not. We could make a lot of applications about we were once was blind, but now we see. And spiritually speaking, the Lord healed us and saved us and made us so that we could see. But I want to preach to you for a little while what God's put on my heart. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. Father, be with us now. Lord, we simply don't know what to do except give it all over to you. I, as the pastor of this church, give it over to you because here I stand with the Word of God in front of me. And Lord, all that the people that are sitting here can do is alike give it to you because they're your people and, and they've got their Word in their lap. I pray that you would meet with us. And I pray that you would do what only I could only ever dream of. Dear Lord, and that's move upon the hearts of people in Jesus' name. Amen. The compassion shown in verse number 22. This is a group that brings a blind man to Jesus and they bring him there. I've told you this a couple months ago, that my dad was saved in a serviceman center. He was stationed in San Diego, California, and there was a serviceman center that would bring sailors down and they would play football in the afternoon. They'd just do some different games and feed them and then preach the gospel to them. And my dad, because of that, because of the Holy Spirit working on him, but chose to do that weekend what he did, end up going to hear the gospel instead of doing what he typically did on the weekends, and that'd be to live the typical sailor's life. And the Holy Spirit of God moved upon him, and it's a longer story than what I'm giving to you today, but he finally hit the aisle and somebody took the Bible and showed him how to be saved. But here was a man that was 2,000 miles away from home, and somebody had compassion on him. Somebody that didn't even know him. You know, it's one thing if you have a brother or a sister or an aunt or an uncle that's unsaved and you have compassion on them, but you should have reason. Maybe they gave you gifts as you were growing up. Maybe it's an uncle and they brought you birthday gifts every year. Maybe they did this for Christmas. You should have reason to have compassion. But here was a group of people in San Diego, California that had compassion on somebody they never even knew. But thanks be to God, in my case, and in my dad's case, that he went and got saved and then his life completely changed and he raised his family up in church. That was before I was ever born. But I see the compassion shown by these people. They cometh to Bethsaida and they bring. And folks, we're going to have to get back to a place where we've got to be working on somebody to bring them to Christ. You understand we've gotten, and I'm not preaching, I guess I am, but I'm preaching to all of us as Christians, we've gotten lazy. We've gotten settled in. We've quit looking for people who aren't saved. And I'm indicting myself as well. We've gotten so busy in our lives, and I was reading this morning or yesterday morning early about in Daniel where wisdom made decrees. People would run to and fro, and certainly those prophecies are being fulfilled. We're running around like crazy, and as we run around everywhere, going here and there, we've forgotten to look at people and see the ones that need Christ. But here we have some people, as Christ comes out of Bethsaida, here's some people that bring us somebody to Christ that has a physical ailment, and I would submit to all of us that it'd be better if we had compassion on people who have a spiritual ailment. We'd have the compassion to bring them to Christ. Say, preacher, I don't know if I know what to tell them. I just told you we have some gospel tracts back there. And when I was a youth pastor, we just tell teenagers, if you don't know what else to do, just get one of those gospel tracts. Open it up and point to them and say, here, this is what this thing says. This is this verse. And this is this verse. And this is that verse. But if you don't even do that, bring them to church and say, hey, why don't you come and be here as we have Hero Sunday here in just a few weeks. All of the things that we do are just an opportunity to get us to get people to come to hear the gospel. I'm thinking, praying about what to preach on that morning on Hero Sunday. Maybe about the great physician. We're going to honor those who are in health care. We're going to honor those that are in the police force. And we're going to honor those that are in firefighting and EMT. And I'm thinking maybe I'll preach on the great physician, or maybe I'll preach on the heavenly law. I'm not sure how what the Lord will do in us on that morning, but we want to get the gospel to as many people. Why do you do that? You say, I know why you do it. You want to get more people in church. And I do want to do that, but more than getting more people in church, I want to get the gospel to people. You know, one thing about coronavirus, it sure knocked a lot of pride out of preachers because nobody's having big crowds. Sometimes we might have more people online than you do in person, and so be it. But regardless of whether they're here, there, or yon, we need to get the gospel. And my friends, this group of people, this somebody had enough tenacity, somebody had enough concern to get people to Jesus or get this guy to Jesus, and that was just for the physical aspect of his blindness. How many of you understand it'd be terrible to go through life blind? But you also got to understand it'd be a whole lot worse to go through eternity lost. And if we had a group here that had enough compassion to get somebody to Jesus, then we certainly ought to be in the group, all of us today. We ought to be in the group that would care enough to get the lost people to Christ. I'm not asking you to become a great evangelist. Most of us aren't supposed to be, me neither. I'm not asking you to travel around and take city by city and do nationwide or citywide campaigns. But what I am asking all of us to do, including this pastor that's standing before you, I'm asking all of us to once again, before the Lord comes to get us, as we sang about, once again, get compassion on those people that are lost and undone and will spend an eternity in a devil's hell. I see the compassion shown, but I see first and secondly in verse 23, as I told you, this is what drew me to this passage for this morning's message. Led him out of the town. Uncertain, as I said, why he didn't heal him in Bethsaida, but he led him out of the town. But here's the beautiful sight I see. The Bible says, and Jesus, and he took the blind man by the hand. I'd never seen that before. Of course, I've read it many, many times, but I never saw that till the Lord just brought it here. So here's the Savior, the Son of God, the lovely Lamb of God that will go to the cross, the one that will rise again, the one that will provide justification for all men that want to be saved, for those that one that came to seek and to save that which was lost. He leaves that man blind for a while and yet takes him by the hand. And in a sign of kindness, in a gesture of benevolence, he leads this guy out of town. He said, what are you trying to say? I really don't know. Except it just so impressed me as I was preparing this message of the tenderness of the Lord, the kindness of our Savior. Didn't get one of the other guys, the other folks that brought this blind man to Jesus, he could have said, you all follow me. But the Scripture says he took him by the hand. And again, the spiritual significance of why he didn't do it there and did it out there, possibly to be a little under the cloak of anonymity, I don't know, or maybe because of the curse put on Bethsaida, whatever. But regardless of that, can you read that again and imagine the tenderness? Would you not like to be led out of town by the hand of Jesus Christ? And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. I just see the tender compassion of Christ. Preachers like me, we love to preach about when Jesus took the tables and flipped them over, and we love that sermon. I've heard that preached so many times at preachers' meetings that you'd think that's the only thing Jesus ever did. And he sure enough did that. And if it comes to that, that's what we'll have to do as well. But I just see the tenderness here. As he was leading, listen to this, he was still blind. But he had the light of the world by the hand. Jesus so veiled his deity that people could even look at him, because you know that God, no man seeth God at any time. So the Lord Jesus, when he was enrobed in human flesh, he veiled that deity. He still had all of it, but he veiled it so else people would even be able to see him. But here it is that he's still blind, he's still troubled, but as long as Jesus had him by the hand, he was okay. I don't think he knew what was going to happen to him. I mean, maybe those people that brought him said, if we can just get you to Jesus, you're going to be okay. I don't know what they had told him, but certainly when this blind man gets Jesus by the hand, I can imagine he started thinking, I don't feel any different. I don't see anything. But I'm wondering whose life, and this is only an application, I'm wondering whose life that you're related to is Jesus working in their life right now to get them to Jesus, get him to himself. Jesus knew what he was going to do at the edge of town, but he doesn't yet do it. And my friend, I would say to you that if Jesus has your loved one by the hand, we better just keep on praying that he gets them to the edge of Bethsaida and heals them of their spiritual blindness. I'm just thinking about how tender it is, and you see the beautiful sight. You understand that maybe they haven't been healed yet, but he knows that the Lord was doing something. Somebody has once said about this tender, compassionate aspect, that people don't know how much, care how much you know. Maybe you're a great Bible scholar. Maybe you know a lot about it. You've been teaching Sunday school here for years. You know, you've been preaching from this pulpit some. You preached in other places, in the chapel, in the gym, and wherever it is. And you say, I know a lot of Bible. As that person said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I have no doubt that most all of us in this room, we've got enough Bible in our head to tell somebody at our workplace how to get to heaven. But we may never get to share it to them because they don't know if we give a rip whether they live, die, or get saved. Now, we probably do. But until they know it, what we know doesn't do much good. I don't have to have you raise your hand. I almost was going to. How many of you love to see every coworker you got get saved? Of course you do. But they're not going to. And they're not going to until they see it become real in you where you have that compassion for them. That's why this person said they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I just see the compassion of Jesus and the comfort that he gives, the compassion that's shown by the other folks and the comfort that's given by Jesus. And I'll give you the rest here. Verse number 25, I see the completion in Christ. Now, remember, sometimes we put too much of the teaching for, well, that must be in reference to salvation. Well, no, this particular story, you know what this is about? A guy being able to see. So we can't draw too many conclusions to say, oh, well, look, this person got saved in stages. Well, no, the salvation is all happens at once, but this person did get his eyesight in stages. For some reason, the Lord decided to do that way. The story continues that the manly old man only saw images, and Jesus completes his healing on this. Can I just tell you this? Rest assured, whatever the Lord does, he does it 100%. You say, I don't know why God didn't finish this job. God finished his job or else he'll going to finish it sometime soon. You don't ever have to worry about it. I drive past some houses sometimes and you'll see where somebody had great intentions, but now that Tyvek wrap is still on the back of their house and it's never been bricked or it's never been sided, it's never been stoned, whatever. They've got great intentions, but follow through sometimes weary is they've gotten weary with that. I can tell you this, that whatever the Lord does, he does perfectly. You may not see the perfect conclusion of it, but it's going to come. And the Lord was going to heal this guy completely. I can imagine maybe some of these folks that brought this blind man to Jesus, and when Jesus put spittle on the ground and put that clay on his eyes and then removed it, he says, can you see? He said, all I can see is men as trees walking. So basically what that meant was, I can just see images. They're moving around. And I can imagine the disciples or the people that brought him said, Lord, you messed up. Could you imagine being so brave as to tell the Lord, you got the wrong prescription on this fella? Whatever the Lord does, he does 100%. Now, it may come to a place like in Paul's life when Jesus, or when God says, I'm not going to heal you, but for my glory, you'll live that way. But whatever the Lord wants to do, he does 100%. And I see the completion in Christ. And I'm thinking about this. The Bible talks about us seeing through a glass darkly. You understand, remember this rather. Salvation happens when a person gets born again. They're born into the family of God. But do you understand that in a different sense, your salvation is not complete? You say, oh, not complete. What do you mean? Do we get this in stages? It's not complete in the fact that one of these days, God's going to save you from the very presence of sin. You understand that when we get saved from the penalty of sin. As we submit ourselves to God, we get saved from the practice of sin. We can yield ourselves to Him and not give ourselves to the flesh. But one of these days, when we're in heaven, we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. Anybody lived in a perfect house this week? You say, "Preacher, you know better than that. Look who I live with." One of these days, we won't have to do that. And I think of this, and that doesn't mean you get salvation in stages, but that does mean we are saved, but we are also being saved. One of these days, we won't have to put up with any bit of sin or anything in our midst because we'll live holy as He does. And I see this, not only do we know that we'll be saved from the presence of sin, but we'll also see things clearly in 1 Corinthians, for we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I'm known. Remember, salvation doesn't come in stages. It's immediate. But we'll still grow and grow and grow. We should. Until one day we have our glorified bodies and we'll be like Him. As I close this morning, I want to focus on three things. I gave you those 3 points as I worked through that passage. But I want to give you 3 things about that just impressed me as a little take-home for you. Number one is Jesus was close enough to touch this fella. That's what the Scripture says. Now, he could have healed him from 1,000 miles. He created the whole world by speaking into existence. He could have done whatever he wanted. But when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. I say, number one, he was close enough to touch. And I give that to you, and I know some of your testimonies that you're trying to help folks right now come to Christ. But I can tell you that if we're not touching the lives of people, we're not going to see many get saved. So I'm asking you this personal question, because it's none of my business, but who are you currently working on to get them saved? You know that Jesus saves them. We know you don't have any part of it, but we also know that you do have a part of it by being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. So who are we working to get to see the Lord? First of all, I see that He was close enough. He was close enough to touch Him. And then I see number two, as I already belabored, so I won't give it to you except in outline form. He led Him patiently. You know it gets messy trying to bring somebody to Jesus? And I know that sometimes you're worried about somebody won't fit into this church if you bring them in. Listen, you bring them in, we're going to, by God's grace, we're not going to be a church where everybody's got it all figured out. If somebody would take inventory of our church and everybody in this room that's got it all figured out, we haven't done a good enough job then. We ought to have more and more people coming into this church that their lives are in a mess. Living together, tatted up, and all kinds of problems, and drink, and all this stuff. You say, wow, what kind of church you want? I want one where we're reaching people for Christ. And then I want to get them in here and let the Holy Spirit of God work on them and change them and make them into what God wants. But listen, don't be such a Pharisee that you expect it to happen in 3 weeks. Or sometimes 3 months or 3 years. He patiently led this man. I don't know why God put that in there, but it just overwhelmed me this week that man got escorted by Christ to the place where He was going to heal him. And then lastly, I give you this. Jesus didn't stop until the work was done. Somebody, you do get into church and you know they don't fit the church mold. That's okay. If we get enough people like that, then maybe somebody else won't feel so bad about bringing somebody. You leave it to me as the pastor. We won't have them teach the adult Bible class until we feel like they're ready. We're not going to put them in a leadership position and do all that. You leave that, I'll take care of that part. We'll just bring them in. And we'll let Christ work on them until the work's done. It's a slow process. Let's just let the Lord work on the hearts of people. Can I give you those 3 things again as we take away for this morning? Jesus was close enough to work on this fella. If you're standing from afar, say, "Oh, I'm praying so-and-so gets saved," until you go over and talk to them, they probably won't. and probably more than talk to them. Take them out to eat. Stay with them after work. Have them over to the house. Bring them to church. Get them to a revival night when St. Paulie's here or something. He was close enough to touch him. Jesus led him patiently out of town. And Jesus didn't stop until the work was done. Lord, I don't know what can be done with that, but I pray that you would take it. And Lord, I know you just worked me over this week, and I don't feel like still, dear Lord, I'm certainly not looking for sympathy from these folks. I don't feel like it's a good message. But Lord, here you healed this man. You so patiently led him. And Lord, I pray that we would get to a place where we patiently work with people to see them come to you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as Miss Bonnie begins to play.